Hurricane devastation has been overshadowed by the Democrats' misinformation campaign. Today on Succulo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Succulo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Succulo.
Welcome to Succulo. We got another packed show today. This is Logan Succulo. Will Haynes is joining us in studio as well. Later in the broadcast, Harry Hutchinson and Rick Grinnell will be on the show, so stay tuned for that. Today, I thought we'd be waking up, telling you stories, you know, hopefully giving you some hope of what was happening after the aftermath of the storm from last night. Now, we are keeping a watch at that. However, it does seem like Florida, as what seems to always be typically, had a very good plan. Obviously, there are millions of people without power, especially in Tampa, and those areas had some major destruction. But then there's some areas that have fared quite well through this storm. But of course, that doesn't come without controversy in politics, as we are just a few weeks away, 26 days from the general election. What does that mean? That means all of a sudden that misinformation word starts to be spread again. It seems like we're having, it's giving me flashbacks to 4 years ago, to dealing with all the times of misinformation, disinformation, the misinformation board. They brought that word back, and I really do think it's for political gain. I think that would be very unfortunate because storms should not be politicized. When we're talking about helping people, it shouldn't be politicized. And once again, they've taken a term and they've started to sort of spin it to where, of course, that term doesn't mean what you originally thought it meant. When we've heard misinformation and disinformation, it's usually about people spreading what they claim to be lies on the internet and it becoming viral hits and that kind of thing. However, this time it even means now the scams that come in to storm riddled areas. This happens all the time. This happens every time there's a storm. That's why you always have the leaders of these states going on, do not sign anything. If someone shows up at your door, be very careful of what you look for online when you're giving donations. There's a lot of scammers out there ready to take advantage of you. But Will, that is not what that word meant. And that is not the dog whistle moment that's happening right now. And we're going to play some videos a bit later in the broadcast where you get to see our vice president in action having these very staged conversations that are to, in theory, when they'll say, to help you out, to try to discourage people from falling for scams or for falling for lies on the internet. But they don't feel that way. They feel political in nature.
That's right. And as you mentioned, the word misinformation, they trained the world to hear misinformation as rhetoric or ideas from conservatives that the Democrats and the establishment don't like. That was the trained MO of the use of that word. That's why the
it was the weird of 2020.
Right, exactly. And so they used it for a while. They had the misinformation governance board that they tried to start. But now when they're using it in the context of the storm, just 26 days from an election, we saw it started really with Karine Jean-Pierre in that joust with Peter Ducey that we played earlier in the week. But now it's spread throughout the entire administration, whether it be Mayorkas, Pete Buttigieg, or even the vice president herself, talking about misinformation instead of scams. They should just be calling them be wary of scams or bad actors. Instead, they're using a word to tie it to conservatives because it's politically expedient for them to make you think that conservatives are trying to harm people during a storm. That is the end goal. In my opinion, the end goal of using misinformation is to try and score political points 26 days from an election and make you think that conservatives are doing something bad and harming people in the path of a storm.
We'll hear clips from Kamala Harris. We'll also hear clips from Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida. We can hear these conversations that have unfolded. We're going to be taking your phone calls as well. If you're in the state of Florida, I'd love to hear from you to see how you are doing. 3 million people are still without power, like I said, in Central Florida, but some of it has done okay. I know a lot of my friends and family got out of this safe, which I'm very appreciative. Was praying for them all night. Was watching the coverage. I'd love to hear from you as well, not just in Florida, but if you are there, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, support the work of the ACLJ right now. Go to aclj.org. We're fighting to defend your liberty in courts and in the media every day. And we got vital legal work happening right now. We need your support. Join the fight by becoming an ACLJ champion if you can as well, which is becoming a monthly recurring donor. We'll be right back at aclj.org. welcome back to Seculo. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. But I think we're going to start this segment off by hearing from our vice president. This is a video that was put out on social media between Vice President Kamala Harris and the FEMA administrator, Deanne Criswell. Now, this is a back-and-forth conversation, and I'll put phone call in quotes, a clearly staged moment, a very scripted moment, a very awkward video, to be honest. I'll just be, you know, someone who makes videos and does this for a living. I think they could have come up with a very much better way of doing this and getting the same point across, even though I disagree with some of even the rhetoric. As Will said, a lot of misinformation, disinformation talk, a lot of dog whistling through this. But they could have easily just come together, down the barrel of the camera, spoke to the American people. Instead, you have this weird propaganda-style video. It really does feel that way, a scripted, odd moment between the vice president and the FEMA administrator. Let's take a watch.
How are you doing?
Here we go again, ma'am. I'm in Tampa right at the moment. This one is going to be a bad event.
You were mentioning to me some of the concerns around mis- and disinformation.
How's that playing out?
Well, it's just a shame. There was a lot of misinformation that really was not helpful, and saying things like, if you take the $750 from FEMA and you don't pay it back, we're going to take your home. This narrative is false, but it's also hurtful.
Yeah.
And people aren't registering for assistance because they're hearing this narrative.
And I'm clear on the fact that the $750 is not something that they have to
pay back, right?
As long as
they can establish that they were in the zone
of harm. That's what they get as part of what we do to help people in need.
And it's just the first, right? It really helps them with those first few needs. The other narrative is that's all FEMA is going to give, which again is false. We are going to help them with financial assistance for any damages to their homes, long-term rentals, or if they incurred costs like hotel costs while they evacuated. All of that will be reimbursed for them as they go through this. But I got to tell you though, ma'am, that the locals on the ground, the sheriffs on the ground, they are so supportive.
Yeah.
They are pushing back hard on this narrative.
Apply for aid because it's designed to help you. Please take care of yourself. I'll talk to you again soon, sadly.
All right. I know. I will.
Okay. Take care.
They're pushing back hard on this narrative. I mean, even those kind of verbiage is so bizarre and so strange. And look, I think they could have very effectively come together, gotten this information directly to the American people, saying, here's the deal. I'm the vice president of the United States. I'm one of the FEMA administrators. Let's tell you what's being out there, what you need and what you don't need. And there was a lot of information in that. But instead, Will, it had to be this sort of staged, you know, trying to be cool video. And that's not what we want from our government in this moment. And that $750, one, is a laughable number. But two, when you look back at the COVID crisis, when everyone started getting checks, you know, that was just blanketing. But of course, this one, you have to apply, you have to have this whole process. Some of these people don't have power, internet, no way to apply right now.
Right. And you mentioned this performative piece, and you use the word propaganda. This is government propaganda. That is textbook propaganda, because the vice president could have done a stand-up video laying out all these details, reading from a teleprompter. They could have sharing the websites, having talking points that they can put out. But instead, there was a skit. They did a skit.
Yeah, that is true.
With the FEMA director administrator. They took time. There was editing done.
A ton of editing.
A ton of jump cuts there to make it look like the vice president is the one in charge. That's the real message they're trying to get home. That's the propaganda element. The propaganda element isn't just the using the word misinformation. That plays into it. But the propaganda element is trying to make it look like she's the commander in chief in this moment. To get this out there, utilizing, piggybacking off of a natural disaster after it's the second major hurricane disaster we've had in just a week and a half. And we're looking at this video, and it's the vice president trying to say, I'm the boss. I'm making sure everyone's doing their job. Elect me on November 5th because I'm the one on the ground working. And honestly, I'm surprised that Joe Biden's putting up with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a silly, like you said, it feels like a sketch, a skit. It doesn't feel real. There are moments in time, and these are one of those moments where we should be able to come together as a country and say, okay, we're going to help those who are in need right now, and we know who those people are, and here's how we're going to do it. And we're going to make this as crystal clear as possible. I think Governor DeSantis did a great job on that. I know you're probably like, well, of course you're going to say that. No, I think he's done a great job in communicating to the people of Florida, and obviously has done a good job in their recovery efforts, as we've seen even through this morning. But I think we should play, actually, sort of a difference. The difference was you had, in this situation, Governor Ron DeSantis, who was pressed on using that misinformation, disinformation terminology at a Florida press conference. And this was just, was this yesterday, day before yesterday?
Yes, it was yesterday.
But yesterday before the storms hit, as they were preparing and talking directly to the American people and to the Floridian people, really, to say, here's what you're going to expect. Here's what we need to do. Okay, none of this putting on a sketch. We're going to answer questions from the press, actually, and get it done. So let's take a listen to, first you'll hear a reporter, and then you'll hear the response from Governor Ron DeSantis.
So obviously the storm is very dangerous, and you've been pushing for evacuations and whatnot. There's also misinformation out there that I believe that I think even a member of your team has tried to dispel online. I know the FEMA administrator brought up other reports of misinformation. I just want to know your thoughts.
What specific misinformation are you talking
about? There was one. There was one tweet that was telling people not to evacuate because there was some collusion between FEMA and a security team that wouldn't let people back into their home. That was obviously.
Guys, listen. I think most people are wise to this. You know, we live in an era where if you put out crap online, you can get a lot of people to share it, and you can monetize that. That's just the way it is. But if you're hearing something that's just outrageous, just know, in the state of Florida, none of that stuff would ever fly. So you don't have to worry about that. FEMA is not leading this show. We are leading this show here in the state of Florida.
Yeah, well, it was good to hear from Ron DeSantis saying that the Florida was leading it, but also having to even answer this question. The guy mentions one tweet that he saw.
Right.
One tweet, which I'm sure, look, I don't doubt that those things happen. I don't doubt that there are people who are trying to mislead, or as he said, trying to monetize the situation. And again, that is where I've said you do have to be very well aware of scams. You do have to be very well aware of what's going on. And I think he's right that you're not giving the American people enough credit. When they were told to evacuate, large percentage of the people in those areas did do it.
And Logan, you and I have been in the state of Florida for a long time. We've been through many storms in the state of Florida. And you know what we always called those things? Because local news covered it. The state agencies would talk about it. We called them scams. We called them what they are.
Yeah.
They weren't trying to link it to political speak, political terminology about misinformation, disinformation. You just called it, don't trust the scammers.
Yeah, like the guys that show up on your front door. It's like, hey, I was up on your roof.
Right.
And there are some holes in there. Okay, who hasn't had that happen? And we've all had that happen in our neighborhoods, likely. If you live in a home, likely you've had some of those people show up at your front door. That's kind of what happens in these, but they're a little bit more opportunistic. They're showing up in moments where people are in deep need. And the problem is they're having them sign over things that they don't know what they're doing. And look, I highly encourage people to be smart about this. But Will's right that they're using political rhetoric to politicize the storm, to politicize this issue, when really all we need to be focused on, all you need, look, I don't even like that Ron DeSantis had to answer that question, because what he should be focusing on, and he is focusing on the people of Florida. What the team in North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee need to be focused on is their people in Eastern Tennessee and in Western North Carolina, not trying to combat political speech. You know, I'm looking at footage right now coming out of Tampa. We saw what happened in Tampa. The roof of the Tropicana Field got ripped off. I was there back in January. You know, these are places that we've all spent time in. Looking at Fort Pierce right now, where there's just massive destruction. Now, again, the response in Florida is different because they were more prepared for a storm like this, because hurricanes show up in this area of Florida practically every year, unlike what's going on in North Carolina. So we need to make sure we don't forget about our friends in North Carolina where that's happening as well. In the next segment, Harry Hutchison is going to join us, Will, because there is some movements to move off of this topic for just a moment, but you can call in and talk to us about it, 1-800-684-3110, because there's been some movement in sort of the world of inflation. And if anyone's checked their bills, you know what's happening right now. It feels like it's going up and up and up. I'm taking my family of five to a Mexican restaurant. Somehow my bill's $180 and I'm looking at it going, how is this possible? How does three pizzas cost me $100? What is going on in our country right now? And of course, there's going to be spin coming out of that as well. I want to know how that's impacting you as well. How is that with inflation happening around the country? Look, it's not only impacting what's going on in restaurants because food prices are up. It's also just your own groceries, your own livelihood. We have been promised that there would be some cooling. Maybe there has been, but I don't know if you're feeling it. Give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to get to you again. Harry Hutchinson joining us in the next segment. Rick Grinnell is going to be coming on in the second half hour. So, and we're going to talk a little about Tim Walz, who, I don't know, said maybe it's time for that Electoral College. And maybe it's time we need to rethink that. Rethink that brilliant piece of legislation created by, you know, the Founding Fathers and Alexander Hamilton and this whole crew. Nah, we don't need it anymore. Why? Of course, for political, you know, gain. We'll discuss that later on in the broadcast. Again, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. And as we see in the news, the challenges we are facing here at the ACLJ are immense, with just weeks away until the election. We are defending not only voter integrity, protecting pro-life speech, supporting Israel and your religious liberty in courts and in the media across the nation and around the world. We could use your help. Help, stand up, join us in this fight. Go to ACLJ.org. Secular, we do have some phone lines open at 1-800-684-3110. One line open right now, but if you keep calling, and not all those will make it through. So 1-800-684-3110. Harry Hutchinson's joining us in studio. And Will, I wanted to bring up this, move our topic a little bit here. There has been some news, and maybe as we were just talking about in the break, maybe there's some misinformation happening, right? Because there's talk of inflation cooling right now. But that does not seem to be the case.
That's right. So these are the final economic indicators that we'll get before November 5th. So these are important numbers for both candidates, because President Trump wants to contrast himself by the way he handled the economy and the way that Vice President Harris and the Biden-Harris administration have been handling the economy for 3.5 years. So these numbers come out, and initially you see headlines across the board that are spinning it very favorably for the economy and for the administration, saying AP News, U.S. inflation reaches lowest point in 3 years. CNN, inflation is getting back to normal. Wall Street Journal, even, inflation cooled in September. But I think that this headline, Harry, and I'll go to you after this, is the most truthful of the headlines about this topic. The U.S. CPI, which is the Consumer Price Index, rises more than forecast, stalling inflation progress. Professor Hutchinson, which of these headlines do you think is getting this right?
I think the latter headline is precisely accurate. Keep in mind, core inflation rose by 3.3%. Also, we should note that despite the rise in stock prices on Wednesday, stock prices hit another record on Wednesday. Food prices posted their largest monthly gain since January, while egg prices rose 8.4%. Also, keep in mind that while energy prices came down a bit in the September numbers, oil prices are likely to rise sharply should Israel attack Iran, and there are already warning signs in the Red Sea with the Houthis attacking oil shipments for Britain and for other Western countries. The other issue to keep in mind, to put this in perspective, is we should note this reality. New research shows that America is not headed toward a recession. Why is that? Because America is already in a recession. So if you look at inflation-adjusted numbers over the last 2 years, we have seen negative growth. For instance, durable goods production rose statistically by 7.5% in nominal terms, but have actually fallen by 13.4% once you adjust those numbers for inflation. Retail sales rose by 23%, but in real terms, they only rose by 3.2%. So I think what we are seeing is the government is committed to its own form of misinformation.
Yeah.
Misinformation when it suits the government, when it suits the government's narrative. And then they attack their critics by claiming that those attacks are indeed misinformation. In reality, at the end of the day, throughout human history, governments are generally the source of massive misinformation, particularly in Democrat countries. They refuse consistently to tell the truth.
And Professor Hutchison, I think one other thing that the government is trying to downplay, that the inflation number is coming down, right? So, but that still means that 2.4%, 2.3%, whatever numbers you're getting, or the 3.3 for core inflation, those are still numbers that are inflating. The numbers still go up, so you're not at 9% anymore, but prices are still rising. And where you see the Harris-Walz campaign try to say things like, we're going to go after people that are price gouging in order to fix the pricing, instead of saying, hey, you know what? We've really messed up the supply chains in America and production in America. And it goes back to basic economics, supply and demand. If we can get our supply chains and our production in America thriving again, then that's when prices will decrease, deflate, if you will, because then there is less demand. Right now, because we're in such a mess when it comes to our supply chains and relying on foreign countries for basic needs, the prices are going to continue to rise until we get that in check.
I think that's absolutely correct. And so one of the core arguments for political change in Washington is the failure of the Biden administration to focus on the basics. And one of those components of the basic economic equation that's out there is energy independence. And energy independence would trickle down to the rest of the economy. It would lower food prices. It would lower retail prices. But the Biden-Harris administration has done the opposite. They have emphasized increased dependence on foreign sources of fossil fuel in their failed EV green energy initiative. So at the end of the day, the Biden-Harris policies are backfiring. But who pays the price? Who pays the cost? The American people.
We've got some heartbreaking calls, to be honest. I'm looking at our bank right here, and I think we need to take one of them. A lot of people are struggling right now. Linda in California, who's watching on YouTube. Linda, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes. Thank you for having me on the air. I am from California, as you said, and I know for a fact that the prices are outrageous. It's hard to buy groceries and necessary items. I'm a single mom, and it makes that very difficult. And I know that when Trump was in office, I didn't have this problem.
Yeah, a lot of people felt that way. I mean, that should be really the number one concern of the American people when you're really looking at the economy. Well, it's hard because you get caught up in so many different things that, you know, you get thrown every issue in the planet, I feel like, that gets thrown in you, whether that's war, whether that's social issues. But at the end of the day, typically the economy is what really drives the election. Maybe not so much this time. We need to make sure there are people like Linda, again, who are protected and are safe, and that we know people. I mean, looking at these calls, we're going to go through a lot of them coming up a little bit later in the broadcast. This is a common problem that's happening right now.
Well, and it's what Professor Hutchison and I were just talking about, is that the fixation by Harris on getting inflation down, that is not saying I want deflation and getting prices back down. She wants to put on price controls that cap them roughly where they are, but not actually doing the hard work, building up the American economy, production, our supply chains, to make sure that the supply is plentiful enough that the prices will economically and naturally go down so that people can survive. I haven't heard her talk about that at all.
Yep, I think it's time for that conversation to happen with just 26 days to the election. We need your help. We need your support. We have a second half hour of this broadcast coming up. If you don't get us on your local station, find us live or later on the podcast feeds. We do the show each day, every day from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern. Work your way back in your different time zone on ACLJ.org, YouTube, and Rumble. Support the show at ACLJ.org. Stay on hold. We'll get to you coming up. Governor Ron DeSantis speaking right now. We'll keep you updated.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Come on now. Your host is Logan Seculo today, but that's all right. Will Haynes joined us in studio. Harry Hutchinson still in studio as well. We're also monitoring everything that's happening in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis speaking right now as we are live, and we're going to see his updates a little bit later in the broadcast. We're continuing the conversation because it seemed to spark a lot of calls. A lot of people wanted to talk about what's going on right now in the economy. As the alleged inflation cooling is happening, no one's really feeling it because we know it's not exactly true. We heard all the talk on misinformation earlier in the broadcast, and now it's misinformation on misinformation on misinformation. Let's go ahead and take a call, though. Frank is calling on line 5 in Texas, listening on the radio. Frank, you're on the air.
Hey, Jordan. How you doing? Thanks for letting me be on the show. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up something I don't really hear talked about on about the economy. It's kind of, I guess, it affects the economy a little bit. As I know it's affecting mine. I've been out of work since early July, and I'm a senior executive. And I think the point that I'm trying to make here is that a lot of senior executives are being passed over for younger talent and smaller or, I guess, lower salaries. And I think this is a big thing because I see this a lot with, I have circles that I talk to, and I hear that a lot from them, that are people that are out of work or trying, or maybe like trying to look for another job that pays a little bit better. Because, as you know, our economy right now from the Biden and the Harris is bad, really bad. And I just wanted to speak about that.
Well, and Frank, when you bring up the fact that when you tackle inflation, you have prices as high as they are, and then if you are someone that's more seasoned in your career, you would demand a higher salary for the work you do. When companies are looking to cut costs, if they can find someone that they can pay less to do a similar job and maybe get them some more training, they are looking at cost-saving measures. And Professor Hutchison, the job market is one that the Harris administration and the Biden administration try to tout is, look at all these job numbers we're getting. They're great. But you who study the economy and know many of these numbers that come out aren't quite what they seem.
Absolutely. So Frank's situation is a perfect illustration, I think, of what is actually happening in the real economy. Other than the kind of Biden-Harris word salad economy. So real wages have been falling, and they have been falling particularly for native-born Americans who are increasingly being replaced by immigrants, both legal and illegal immigrants. And that move has undercut the real wages of American citizens. So they are being hit by a twofold blow. They're losing their jobs or receiving a wage decrease. Meanwhile, the cost of living, the real cost of living, is rising. So this is a double-barreled shot at American citizens, and I think it's time for the American electorate to notice this and to vote accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this is should be, again, one of the top things we're hearing about. We have these calls. Like I said, we have more that we're going to take later in the broadcast. And if you want to call in as well, we have a couple lines open now because we took those calls at 1-800-684-3110. They're heartbreaking. And look, come on here. And of course, I'm telling you, encourage you to support the ACLJ, do all that. Obviously, we know that it's a tough time. So if it's not in your means right now to be able to do that, I'm not going to encourage you to do it. There are easy ways, though, and free ways that you can support this show. And a lot of our people are watching on YouTube that are talking about this. You know what you need to do? Subscribe. Hit that thumbs up. I know it's hard to thumbs up shows like this. Because you're like, what am I thumbs upping? That, you know, the misinformation, we're getting called misinformation, and we're being, you know, dealing with storms, and it's just chaos in America. Inflation on the rise. But know when you hit that thumbs up, when you hit that subscribe button, whether it's on YouTube or Rumble or X or whatever it may be, that more people see this kind of content. and over 437,000 on just YouTube. Subscribe. Let's get that number higher. Let's continue to do that. It's free. You can do it right now. Just hit that subscribe button and follow us on all social media platforms. And again, if you can support the work, do it. But again, that's a great, easy, free way to do it. ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Secular. We're going to take more of your calls coming up in this segment as well in the next. We're also going to discuss sort of the controversial moment where Tim Walz said maybe it's time, and look, this is not that controversial. We've heard it come up now over and over from the left, that it's time to abolish the Electoral College. Of course, the Electoral College is there so the American people are represented fully, not just represented essentially by what they call coastal elites or the big states. Because if not, you would have California, New York, and maybe Texas deciding the entire country's president each and every time. And you have no representation for any of the quote-unquote flyover states. I hate that term, but that's what they call them, the flyover states. And look, I think we're probably in one of those as well, broadcasting Tennessee here. I'd love to hear from you, though. We have three lines open at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to, Governor DeSantis was speaking just a moment ago. We're going to try to play some of that as well. We do have a bite from that?
Yeah, we have a bite from that. This is from Governor DeSantis just moments ago. This is Bite 12. Let's go ahead and play it.
We also can say that the storm did not produce the worst case scenario in terms of storm surge. If you remember about 24 hours ago, maybe 36 hours ago, the fear was a category 4, strong 4 going into Tampa Bay, producing about 15 feet of storm surge. That's an area with Pinellas County Peninsula and then the surrounding areas in Hillsborough County that is very low lying, very susceptible to storm surge. That did not end up happening.
So there is some, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, some silver linings coming in. Obviously, we're still seeing massive destruction. One of our friends just posted a picture of their neighborhood on social media that is just ravaged. So it's not like everyone got out of this. Millions of people are without power. We know this. However, I think they were planning for worst case scenario. And thankfully, Florida's got a good leadership, whether that's through Ron DeSantis or Rick Scott or Jimmy Patronis, these people who are really know how what they're doing and they're taking it seriously. Even their senators, Jared Moskowitz, people like that, who do care about their people and are making sure that they are as safe as possible. And again, that was just from moments ago with Governor DeSantis.
And when you think about Florida as well, as you mentioned, that is used to this type of storm, even the worst case scenario, they are preparing for. It is a more likely scenario than what we saw in East Tennessee and Western North Carolina. And so the building codes are different. The way property is structured is different. And so they can withstand the winds a lot better. And the floodwaters are a different kind of floodwater. Storm surges, still devastating. Even the flooding that we saw in Tampa and St. Petersburg and Sarasota, very high water, billions of dollars in damage. But you don't see the type of flash flooding where water is rushing down a mountain, building speed and wiping out homes that aren't built to withstand that kind of rushing water. That is why the imagery is less apocalyptic looking than what you saw in Western North Carolina, but no less devastating in terms of the property damage. Fortunately, when you don't have rushing water down a mountain, we pray that the loss of life is severely limited. And also, it does appear that many people heeded those warnings to evacuate when the officials told them to. And so that it goes back to trusting a leader who shows leadership in the moment results in a much better outcome in spite of all of the oppressive storm surge and winds that could be coming towards you.
I mean, I was reading a lot of comments that are coming in on our YouTube channel or on Rumble. And look, I know there was a lot of pushback on Governor DeSantis last year as he challenged President Trump for the nomination. But what I'm seeing right now is a lot of people really celebrating his leadership. And I have to say, I'm a fan. I'm someone who thinks he does a really good job. And I think we need that kind of leadership in the country. Truthfully, I think there's other people like him that are in this country who are really standing up and understand how to support their own people. So I'm glad to see some of that positivity coming out of Florida, even coming out of Governor DeSantis himself. We do have some more calls coming up. And also, we wanted to quickly, this is just a fun one in some ways. In Israel, you know, I don't know if you heard about this. They've been taking out a lot of leadership right now. Will said you're like playing by the
weirdly. They said they're going by the Kamala Harris playbook. They are saying what can be unburdened by what has been, but they are taking action and moving forward, wiping out terrorist leadership across the region.
Yeah, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Tuesday that Israeli airstrikes had killed two successors to Hezbollah's leaders. Slain leader, as Israel expanded its ground offensive against the Iran-backed group with a 4th Army Division deployed in the South Lebanon. So every time someone's stepping in to this role as the new leader of Hezbollah, you know, watch out. Because clearly Israeli intelligence has your number and has been doing a heck of a job taking out these terrorist leaders. Let's just hear from Benjamin Netanyahu. Because again, I don't want to jest about loss of life or terrorist organizations. However, it does feel like sometimes when you have these kind of leaders that victory could be on the horizon for Israel.
We took out thousands of terrorists, including Nasrallah himself and Nasrallah's replacement and the replacement of his replacement. Today, Hezbollah is weaker than it's been for many, many years. Stand up and take your country back.
Yeah, a great leader there, again, saying we took out the replacement and the replacement of his replacement today. So again, and we know that happened even when Nasrallah was killed immediately, the second person was right. Taken out. You're talking about 4 or 5 leaders who have been taken out of this terrorist organization. Again, Israel doing sort of some amazing moves right now with technology to really start to stand up for what they should have been doing for years and years and years. And finally, honestly, maybe not listening to sort of the world. When the world stage, when the UN starts calling, you have a leader who's going, you know what? No, we're sticking up for our country. We're the only Western society built on Western values here in the entire Middle East. Sure, America, you may be turning on us, but we know that's not necessarily true. We know that there's leadership that may not find it politically acceptable to support Israel, but we know where the American people actually stand. You can support Israel. You can support everything we're doing. We have an office in Jerusalem. You've heard from Jeff Balaban all the time from ACLJ Jerusalem. We need to showcase what we're doing in Israel more, because I think you need to see what the ACLJ's efforts are there, you know, globally, not just here in this country. And a lot of times it's trying to bring values. It's the American Center for Law and Justice in Jerusalem. It's different than even our European Center for Law and Justice, which is there, the European Court of Human Rights, the UN, and all those places. The ACLJ Jerusalem is also about having an American presence in the state of Israel. You can support all of that. It all comes from the same funding, which is you. At a small level, we were looking at today, most donors give the ACLJ $50. That's just the truth. Okay, we are built on the backbone of hundreds of thousands of individual small donations. That's at ACLJ.org. You can support the work. And again, if you can't, there's great free ways you can do it. Sign up for our email list. Sign petitions. If you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, subscribe. If you're on Facebook, follow. You're on X, follow. Be a part of the conversation. Chat. Put the thumbs up. All those ways are absolutely free ways that you can support the organization. And they are very impactful. We have seen such an amazing growth in terms of our YouTube channel and who we're reaching. It's really remarkable. We appreciate each and every one of you who do that. We do have some phone calls coming in still, and you can give us a call also at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Bill in Wyoming. Bill, I know you've been on hold for a while, but you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. After listening to what's been going on from yesterday and today, I just figured that this administration has got an unspoken mantra, and it's give them danger, teach them to run in circles, scream and shout. And owing to finish up with yesterday, I think we've seen evil. And it doesn't matter what face is up there speaking, we're seeing evil.
Well, and when they are using propaganda-like campaigns and trying to politicize a devastating storm, and yet they try to say that people like President Trump or J.D. Vance are politicizing the storm because they're saying that FEMA needs to do a better job, or they're questioning why it's so easy to send money to Lebanon without having Congress come back, and then Congress comes back. They're like, no, that's just how it works. Well, that's when you realize they don't understand America first. The left doesn't understand why the MAGA movement even was born out of that America first style thought process, is that maybe that is how it works. Maybe it is difficult to deal with FEMA and there's layers to it, and you have to apply, and they have to approve that you're in this zone that was of devastation. But that's part of the problem, because you know who doesn't have to prove that they're in Lebanon? Someone in Lebanon. Yeah. They just send money over. Ukraine didn't have to have any sort of checks on the money that we sent over. In fact, like 80 to 90% of it was unaccounted for. That's the problem. That's why there is a movement behind Donald Trump, is because they're like, this is backwards. We need to fix it and take care of the people at home that have a devastating storm, hurricane, tornado, whatever. Start here. Make it easier to take care of our own before sending billions and billions of dollars around the world with no checks.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I also think that's why I'm kind of encouraged by what's going on in the state of Florida. We need to look to Florida to figure out how we can implement some of this around the country. I mean, they are my friends and family that are in Central Florida, many woke up with power, water, internet. Nothing went down. I mean, millions of people are without power. I'm not discounting that. But the fact that that happened, it withstood a full-blown hurricane. We need to look at what the infrastructure is going on there and how we can implement it around the country. We're going to take your calls coming up at 1-800-684-3110. Welcome back to Secula. We want to take as many calls as we can. And we have a few lines open because we took so many early in the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's kick it off with William, who is in Texas, who's watching on YouTube. William, you're on the air.
Hi, this is kind of an aside. You know that, I don't know if you knew about this, but 90 to 92% of Kamala's staff either were resigned or were fired. And what was reported, because I fact-checked this, that she didn't like people to look directly to, at her eye to eye. And she degraded the staff, and may have been one of the reasons why she left. Now, I guess this all goes to her qualifications to be president, because, you know, she claimed to be the right hand to Biden. It'd be kind of interesting to find out someone who was in charge of her appointment calendar or whatever, why this occurred, because she claims that she was there to the very last person and any decision making, what have you. And it'd be interesting to find out whether she, in fact, was actively involved with Biden. I don't think Biden liked her particularly. But so in addition to being, I'll use the word witchy, she was not, she was just not competent.
So, William, yes, so those reports that, 90 to 92% turnover, some of the most, highest numbers of turnover in any vice president office in history. And people did talk about it, that, you know, she's notoriously hard to work for. I think the reason you don't see it all that often is because she was given a red carpet by the American press when she was elevated to the role of the nominee for the Democrat Party. There was no pushback or deep dive. There was no opposition research or just critique from the mainstream media at all. This story obviously was circulating within conservative circles, conservative media, of like, this doesn't seem like the person you want leading the government if they're going to have that high of turnover because they're terrible to work for. But then you also take into context all how difficult it is to get her to do media interviews, how difficult some of the reporting
until
about
this
like
this week. And
well,
sudden,
right. But
as
also,
polls are dropping, all of a sudden she's showing up on every sort of podcast, or Howard Stern, or doing the meet, you know, it's Colbert, showing up wherever she can.
They even had, though, a story out where there was a casual dinner in Washington, and they said she was having her staff do mock dinners for her to try to practice to go do there. So, yes, I think that within the audience we're speaking to, this is a well-known thing. It's not going to get to the level of that. And I'm sure that they could have a comeback and say, I am very demanding. If someone can't take the job, get out. Right,
so
exactly.
That's sort of the
problem. So I think that's why it's not a pervasive narrative, but I think it is something that shows you an insight into maybe her character as a leader. Let's go to Laura calling in North Carolina on line 3. Laura, you're on Seculo.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am a supporter, and I really appreciate all the work you're doing. I wish I could give you more. I had two comments. The first one was that some of my friends in Florida were unable to leave because there was no gasoline for their car. Just wanted to put that out there, that some of them had to stay. They didn't have a choice. And second of all, I wanted to ask you, what kind of response can I give to those friends of mine, Christians and family, that are saying that Israel isn't acting like Israel should act? And I want to support Israel, and they're saying Israel is killing innocent people.
Sure. I really encourage you, Laura, we have a website. It's aclj.org/defend-Israel. And there's a video on there. It's also on our YouTube channel. It's called The Myth of Palestine, that really gives you more information on that. But again, aclj.org/defend-Israel, you're going to find a really interactive website where you can really get informed and get your friends informed. I think we are having that issue in the modern church where people are saying, hey, they're committing genocide, they're doing all these things. And look, no innocent life is lost without sadness. And don't think that I feel that way, that I'm some sort of, we're all like callous here and saying, well, they're doing, you know, what they have to do, and it doesn't matter. It does matter. I want to make sure that we are there, but, you know, this is war. Sadly, this is war. And it's war that was brought on by terrorist regimes, you know, not just terrorist units, not just terrorists, even like we had on September 11th. You're talking about Iran-backed governments. You're talking about leadership, people that were elected. So this is war, okay? It's very different than maybe what you're imagining. So I encourage them to check their facts, but also to go look at our website. We have so many incredible resources from our team here. So go to aclj.org. All the content is absolutely free. Nothing is behind a paywall. Go to aclj.org and do that now. Let's go to Ricky, who's calling on line one. Ricky, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks, Jay, for taking my call. Big follow of yours. So I wanted to make a comment on the state of Michigan, the beleaguered state of Michigan. We've been in trouble ever since the draconian lockdowns of the COVID era, let's call it. Your commentators were talking about inflation and the minimum wage, but let's be honest, we've had inflation ever since we've had a Federal Reserve, really, right?
What Ricky points out is a thing I try to drop as much as I can, is that when you have a society based off of government debt in the Federal Reserve system, is that they are actually trying to have 2% inflation across the board. That is their target inflation. They don't want deflationary measures. That is the way that the system is structured. So yes, Ricky, you are correct in that. No matter what, you are going to have inflation as long as you have a Federal Reserve banking system. But go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
No. That was perfect. You couldn't have said it any better. But in the state of Michigan, we are literally a house of cards. And here's why. So it's been several administrations, and I don't mean necessarily federal, but state, where right now there's a lot of saber rattling and chest thumping. Oh, we're so good and we have these jobs. But the research is out there. A lot of the jobs that are out there and are posted, you can apply to them. I've done that myself, and you're ghosted. It's like there to inflate their numbers. And what's happened in the state of Michigan is your average median wage, hourly wage now, between $15 and $18 an hour. And I've argued people on it, but then when I'm like, well, look at the facts. I know, go apply for something. It's who wants to write the check? And the largest checks they're writing for on average is in that group, because most of those people writing that check are in the service industries.
And Ricky, and, you know, I'm only cutting you off because we have only about a minute left. But what Ricky is saying is bears out exactly what Professor Hutchison was saying earlier, is that the real wages of people across the country are declining because of the price increases, because of not being able to fill those positions because they don't actually want to pay it. And the biggest job increases in these numbers are government work and in the service industry, which isn't necessarily covering the bills of individuals. And also, once again, native-born Americans are not increasing their jobs gained And that's just the reality of what the economy looks like right now.
All right, that's going to do it for today's broadcast. I encourage you to join us each and every day as we broadcast this show live, Monday through Friday, from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. So if you don't join us live, I encourage you to do that. We have it on a lot of radio stations, SiriusXM, but also ACLJ.org. You can watch us on ACLJ.org, on YouTube, on Rumble, however you get your content. We are there live, and of course, later on the podcast. Support the work of the ACLJ by going to ACLJ.org. That supports this show and our critical legal work. Talk to you tomorrow.